So in this way, the whole planetary system has been described, and as the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then in this second canto, second chapter of the second canto, it begins with Sukadeva Goswami starting to explain that how meditating upon the Virat Rupa, the universal form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Brahma developed his ability to create. Any problem? Okay. Brahma developed his ability to create. Brahma actually created as it was before, like there was an annihilation. The creation was, the universe was destroyed. And at the time of annihilation, everything dissolved. But then again, the creation began, and a new Brahma came. And this Brahma in the universe started to prepare himself. And the preparation is, he meditated upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his Virat Rupa. And eventually Brahma received the instructions from the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of the Vedas. But then again, the Vedas can be quite bewildering. The sound of the Vedas can be quite bewildering, because the sound of the Vedas can lead one to materialistic pursuits, to enjoy this material nature. The Karmakanda section of the Vedas are actually giving us different prescriptions for enjoyment in this material nature. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna said, the jamimam puspitam vacham. The puspitam vacham is the flowery words of the Vedas. What are the flowery words? The words or the sound, the instructions, the guidance, the opportunities that are being offered to enjoy in this material nature. But an intelligent person will understand that that is not the goal of life. And that intelligence actually develops when one comes across a bona fide spiritual master. The bona fide spiritual master tells a living entity, tells this intelligent, qualified student, what is the goal of life. So this actually is a very important thing to understand, that just by reading, by studying Vedas, one may not find the ultimate goal of life. The direction of a qualified teacher is absolutely essential. The guidance of a bona fide spiritual master is very, very important. And it is the spiritual master who actually gives the ultimate direction. The goal of life is not to enjoy in this material world, not to endeavor for enjoyment in this material world. Don't waste your time. That is the instruction of bona fide spiritual master. Don't waste your time. Don't waste this wonderful opportunity to enjoy this material nature. Because, after all, there is no enjoyment in this material nature. It's only an allurement. Our acharyas are reminding that point time and time again. That it's illusory. You are trying to get something, but you don't get it. Instead, you get just the opposite. Just like a mirage, an illusion. A classic example of illusion is mirage. The mirage gives the promise of water, appears to be like water, but actually it is burning hot sand. Shitalo boliya, onolo pohalu. In order to get the cold sensation, or thinking that it will cool me down, I approached the fire. And as a result of that, painu borojotap, I got, as a result of that, I got the heat of the thunderbolt. I thought I'll cool myself, but what I got is a thunderbolt, the heat of a thunderbolt. So that is what the material nature is like. We are trying to enjoy, but instead of enjoyment, what do we get? We simply get suffering. So this is what Brahma realized, that these words of the Vedas can be quite bewildering. Instead of giving us the ultimate solution of our material existence, it may allure us into the materialistic way of life, desiring for sense gratification. Therefore, a person who is endeavoring for spiritual advancement should curtail his necessities to the bare minimum. Whatever is necessary for his maintenance, one should just, maintaining the body, one should just accept that. The purpose of life should not be to increase the facilities of this material.
This is being recorded.
So that's why it is very important that one recognizes the ultimate goal of life. And as I said, we need a spiritual master, because the spiritual master reminds us about that time and time again. And don't waste your time in materialistic endeavor. The goal of life is spiritual advancement. And one should endeavor only for the minimum necessities of existence. And here there is a very beautiful verse that Sukadeva Goswami is mentioning. Sattang shito kim kashipa prayoshair bauho shashiddhe hi upabarhani kim sattan jalo kim puradhan na patra digbalka lado sati kim dukulai. He is saying, why endeavor for fancy beds when the flat earth is available? He is talking about a transcendentalist who has dedicated his life completely into spiritual advancement. Sattang krito kim kashipa prayoshai. And when you have your arms, what's the point in going for a fancy soft pillow? Was the use of endeavoring for a fancy bedstead, was the use of fancy pillow when the flat earth is available to lie down on, and when the arm is there to use it as your pillow? Sattan jalo king puradhan patra. What's the point in having fancy utensils to eat food from when you're puradhana patra? When your hands, patra sattanjala, anjali, when your hands are there, just take the food in your hand and eat it. Dig balka lado shoti king kuloi. When the bark of trees are there, was the point in endeavoring for fancy clothes? So this is how he is pointing out, a person who is really serious about spiritual advancement should minimize his necessities to the bare minimum. Of course, at the same time, in Kali Yuga that's not possible. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a very simple process. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew that in the age of Kali, not many people will be able to pursue that kind of life that Sukadeva Goswami was speaking about. A transcendentalist should give up everything. Those people are very powerful individuals. And they were just like yesterday we were discussing about Vidura. He left home, a prince, brought up in a palace. left home and just started to wander around the world, traveling to the place of pilgrimage. And he was leading a life like that, sleeping under a tree, eating whatever came on his way, and for clothes he was wearing some tree bark. But in this age, that's not going to be possible for most of the people. Therefore, in this age, the emphasis is actually on preaching. And for the sake of preaching, one should accept whatever is necessary. Like nowadays, Prabhupada, we have seen with Srila Prabhupada, if Prabhupada went to America wearing tree bark, then nobody would have spoken to him. Nobody would have come near him. Therefore, Prabhupada dressed in a normal way. Prabhupada saw that people would not accept him unless he conformed with their way of life. So he dressed nicely, he drove fancy cars, he flew in the aeroplanes, just to reach out to people and give them Krishna consciousness. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. For the sake of preaching, whatever we have to do, we'll do. And another thing is, another consideration is that the process that Sukadeva Goswami is describing here is the process for an individual's own upliftment. But what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave is the process for everyone else's upliftment. In this process, one is not so much concerned about his own salvation. He is concerned only about others' spiritual advancement. And this spiritual advancement can be achieved quite easily, simply by remembering Krishna, simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, simply by meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, simply by being engaged in his devotional service. He is actually, Sukadeva Goswami is coming to that point gradually. He pointed out there's no need for unnecessary endeavor for sense gratification, but one should actually focus on his own spiritual advancement. So, he is actually pointing out, ultimately, that one should become fixed up in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because that is the ultimate goal of life. And that Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in the heart. He is situated in the heart, he is closest to everyone. Everyone can develop a relationship with him. And in order to do that, one doesn't need to go to the forest. One can simply be situated in his spiritual practice of rendering devotional service. And by reaching the ultimate goal of life and by worshipping him, one can become free from his material bondage. Just by being engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can become free from his material bondage. The Lord is in the heart. And Sukadeva Goswami is describing how the Lord is in the heart. And it says that his mouth expresses a beautiful smile. His face is lit up with a beautiful smile. It's not only it is the most beautiful, it is the epitome of all beauty, but it has been further beautified by his beautiful smile. His eyes spread like lotus petals. He wears yellow garment, his garment is yellow. And he is bedecked with valuable jewels. He is wearing earrings on his neck. He has got beautiful necklaces and and on his head he has a crown bedecked with most precious jewels. There's all kinds of beautiful ornaments decorating his body. And on his chest there is the most brilliant gem, the Kaustava jewel. And there's a beautiful flower garland adorning his chest. His feet are resting over the petals of a whorl of a lotus, and that lotus is the heart of the yogis, great mystics, those who are meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His heart is placed on their, his feet are placed on his heart, on their hearts. And one must meditate, one must focus his consciousness onto that beautiful personality who is already residing in his heart. That is the goal of life. So first we meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then as the reciprocation begins, we meditate upon the Lord in the heart, and as we develop our relationship, then a loving exchange begins. And through that loving exchange, develops the devotional service. Due to that love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a devotee wants to render service unto Him. And as a result of that, he expresses His love through His service. My Lord, what can I do for You? That becomes His attitude. And this meditation should begin from the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His lotus feet, and it is from His lotus feet He could rise onto His smiling lotus face. And that way we can also remember Srimad Bhagavatam is the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And first and second cantos are His lotus feet. Third and fourth canto are His thighs. The fifth canto is His abdomen. Sixth canto is His chest. Seventh and eighth cantos are His arms. Ninth canto is His neck. And the tenth canto is His smiling lotus face. So this is how we should gradually rise, starting from the lotus feet of the Lord. Bhagavatam should be studied in this order, gradually from canto to canto, and come to the tenth canto where you get the direct perception of the Lord. Then 11th canto is His forehead, and 12th canto is His head. So this is another description of the transcendental body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is another way to meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by studying, because study is a meditation. When you study and get absorbed in our studies, when we read and we get absorbed in our reading, then that is another kind of meditation, and through that meditation we can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as the mind, as it rises, as a yogi progresses in his meditation, his intelligence becomes purer and purer. As it goes from higher and higher region, his intelligence becomes more and more pure. So another way of looking at it is the way of the process of meditation of the yogis. And their process is actually, the yogis, Ashtanga yogis, they make their life energy, life air, rise from the base of the vertebral column, which is known as Muladhara, to higher and higher region. There are different chakras. From the bottom, the next chakra is opposite to the region of the genitals. And then it's navel, then heart, then neck, then eyebrows, in between the eyebrows, and then finally the Sahasrara, the brain center. So these are all the process of elevating one's consciousness. Yogis do it by artificially or by mechanically, through the mechanical process of Ashtanga Yoga. It's a very arduous process, very, very difficult process, which actually begins practically from pratyahara, withdrawal of the senses, from the objects of the senses. And before pratyahara is pranayama, breathing control. Breathing control actually leads practically to stopping to breathe. So that process is impossible for the living entities of this age, human beings of this age. Today yogas are becoming very popular, that kind of yoga, but it's an unfortunate development. The real purpose of yoga for spiritual advancement is not the goal, it's just some material benefit. Anyway, the material nature is like that, and misdirected civilization, as Prabhupada used to say, it's misdirected because people are not listening to the qualified teachers. People are listening to some cheaters and being cheated. ISKCON is there, ISKCON devotees are there, Prabhupada's teachings are there, Prabhupada's books are there. But people are not interested to take that knowledge from that source. Some cheap guy is coming and giving them all kinds of false promises. They may work to some extent, but that's not the goal. Like they come and say, well, you practice this, you'll be cured of your diabetes. You'll be cured of your blood pressure. You'll be cured of cancer. Maybe they get some temporary benefit out of that, but that is not the goal of this yoga. The purpose of yoga is to become situated on transcendental platform and rise one's spiritual consciousness, develop one's spiritual consciousness. That is the goal of yoga. All the yogas, whether it's Ashtanga yoga, whether it is Karma yoga, Jnana yoga, or pure devotional service, Bhakti yoga. The purpose of yoga is to develop spiritually. Anyway, at least those who are sincere and those who are intelligent, and on top of everything, those who are fortunate, they will recognize the value of Srila Prabhupada's teachings and take full advantage of that teachings. So, in this way, at least we can see that we have found the most precious object. We have become aware of the ultimate goal of life. What others are doing, let's not waste our time in analyzing that. Let us take full advantage and let us try to create the good fortune for others. That's why we have to preach. Preaching is an expression of our compassion for others. We should go out and tell them that, look, you have such a wonderful opportunity. Take advantage of it. And in order to do that, we have to be concerned about our presentation, that people don't misunderstand us. They should see that we are selfless preachers. We are simply here to benefit them, to guide them into achieving the ultimate goal of life. So, in this way, the purpose of meditation is to concentrate the mind on the transcendental form of the Lord. That is the goal of life. That's the goal of meditation. The meditation should bring from the lotus feet of the Lord and then come up to the smiling lotus face of the Lord. And then we can go even beyond that, 11th canto. And 11th canto is Uddhav Gita. That's why now I am focusing on Uddhav Gita. I am giving a seminar on Uddhav Gita. Because that's such a wonderful instruction of Krishna. The ultimate culmination of the spiritual wisdom. The ultimate development of Srimad Bhagavatam. And when one reaches that point, that is the point of Labdho Poshanti. One achieves the ultimate tranquility of mind. And the ultimate goal is to remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead at the time of death. So one should not be afraid of death. Rather, one should prepare himself for death. So here we are seeing Parikshit Maharaj. He's not afraid of death. Rather, he's preparing himself. Okay, death is coming. What should I do now? Materialistic people become afraid of death and they want to try to avoid death. But a spiritualist would be bold enough to face death. Let it come, any moment. I'm ready. Because that is the gateway to the spiritual sky. The ultimate perfection will come when I go beyond that point. Death means annihilation or departure from this body. This body, after all, is a bondage in this material nature. It is with this body we are bound in this material nature, with both gross and subtle body. Subtle body is even more dangerous. From gross body we can get freedom at the time of death. But from the subtle body there is no freedom. We simply have to get rid of the subtle body. And what is the way to get rid of subtle body? How to get rid of mind, intelligence and false ego? They are not going to just... We won't be able to discard it at one point the way we discard the gross body. But we can only transform it. The mind, when engaged in thinking about Krishna, will be spiritualized. When intelligence is engaged in devotional service to Krishna, it will become transformed and spiritualized. And in this way, when you become engaged in the level, in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then our false ego will be spiritualized and will become situated in our constitutional position as an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We'll become situated in our Swarup, Siddha Swarup, perfected spiritual identity. And this life is an opportunity to reach that goal. Our ultimate spiritual perfection. And that's why one must cultivate this process in the association of devotees. And the most important activity in this is kirtanam, shravanam, kirtanam, hearing and chanting. Absorb yourself, absorb your existence, absorb your consciousness into just this two simple act, hearing and chanting. And then rest will automatically happen. Kirtana prabhave, smarana huive. When we chant, then remembrance will be there. Hearing, chanting, remembering. Remembrance will come from this hearing and chanting. And in this way, we'll become more and more involved in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Worshipping, glorifying, serving His lotus feet, surrendering ourselves at His lotus feet. These are the sublime process of spiritual involvement. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any question? Atmaram, is there any question from that side?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, there are 10 callers on the teleconference. I've just activated the call queue. Most of the devotees are listening on the Mayapur TV. There are 60 people on Mayapur TV, 60 devotees.
Yeah.
There's about 30 devotees in Ujjain as well. So there's about 100 total. To the devotees on the teleconference.
It's such a short notice.
Yes. That is your position that you can attract them. to the devotees on the teleconference, if you'd like to ask Guru Maharaj a question, please dial *6.
If anyone.
I don't think there'll be any questions here, Guru Maharaj. Maybe on the chat.
Okay, thank you, Hare Krishna.
Yes, Guru Maharaj, we have one question on the Mayapur chat. This is from Reku Chandak. Respected Maharaj, Hare Krishna, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj, in the 8th verse, Srila Prabhupada mentions that the Supreme Personality of Godhead resides as Paramatma in the heart of every living entity, and He measures more or less 8 inches. So how is it to be understood that Paramatma resides as 8 inches in the living entities, whose bodies?
We have to understand that is how. Okay, the question is from Reku.
His body's measure less than 8 inches.
So her question is that in the 8th verse, it has been mentioned that the Lord in the heart appears to be, is about 8 inches. So here we have to understand that that is how He appears to the devotee. Like, ultimately His form is transcendental. It cannot be measured by any material measurement. But just as the universal form actually encompasses the entire creation, the Lord in the heart appears to be just like in the small form, where He is residing in that region of the heart. Is it all right, Reku?
Yes, that question was from the chat. on my appropriation. So I think that answers the question. Yeah, actually, the question was more on if it is for those living beings who are smaller than 8 inches. How does that
for living being? What's
for,
that?
For the small living beings that are smaller than 8 inches in size.
No, what happened? No, I didn't get that. No, it has been the general description that the Lord in the heart, measuring about 8 inches. That's. Let me just read the verse. Others conceive of the personality of Godhead residing within the body of the region of the heart and measuring only 8 inches, with 4 hands carrying a lotus, a wheel, or a chariot, a conch shell, and a club, respectively. Now, the understanding is that is how the Lord appears to be in the heart of everyone as the super soul. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like when one tends to see him in relation to his own body, you see, when one tends to see him in relation to his own body, then, you know, that is how he appears to be. As if in that region, in that size, you know, he is residing and watching all his activities. You get it? Like, on the other hand, let's consider, if we consider him to be very big and all, then we can't imagine, we can't conceive that he is in the region of the heart. But then there is another way of looking at the Lord, the deity of the Lord. The deity of the Lord is the representation or manifestation of the personality who is in the heart. Now he is present, manifesting externally in the form of the deities. So there are different ways of seeing the Lord. In the heart as the super soul. But then, when you meditate on the Lord, then how do you feel? Then, as you get closer to him with the proper understanding, then you may see him as 8 inches, but what is your size? 1/10,000 part of the tip of the hair. That is your size in relation to him. So when you meditate on that, then he becomes all pervasive, all encompassing, and you're just a tiny little 1/10,000 part of the tip of a hair. Okay. Yeah, Atmaram, you had another question?
Yes, Ramaj. This is from Chitahari Krishna Das. And he says, Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam. Thank you very much. Many times one decides to get determined that now no more sense gratification. But again, one falls prey to Maya's allurements. So how should one get rid of this?
Yeah, well, this kind of allurements of Maya will... Oh, the question is from Chitahari Krishna Das. Is it there? He must have been here. Okay. So Chitahari Krishna Das is asking that although one becomes determined to become fixed up in spiritual life, but still he gets deviated due to the allurements of Maya. So what to do about that? So in answer I would say that yes, allurements of Maya will be there because we are, after all, we are in the world of Maya. Therefore, these allurements of Maya is very dangerous, can be very dangerous. But the way to protect ourselves from those allurements and remaining fixed up in spiritual life is by becoming situated in the association of devotees. So wherever you are, always remain in the association of good devotees. Then these allurements will become ineffective. Okay?
Yes, that was the last question.
Okay. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. So there will be Mayapur TV presentation or transmission of the seminars. The seminar will begin at 6 o'clock or 6:30, I think. Anyway, we'll post that in the Ishtagoshti, the timings. There'll be the day after tomorrow, the seminar will actually begin from the evening as an indoctrination. And then next days, I think 7th, 8th, 9th, or 5th, 6th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th. Yeah. The four other days, there'll be one class at 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock in the morning, and 11 to 1 in the late morning, going to afternoon. So these are the two classes that I'll be giving every day for 4 days. And then in the evening, there'll be question-answer session, also from 6:30. Anyway, we'll post it in the Ishtagoshti. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Gaur Premanande. Hare Hare.
Thank you very much, Guru.
Hare Krishna. I'm sorry about the mistake and misunderstanding. Actually, I should have told Suman about this also, teleconference. He has set up a very nice arrangement for TV presentation. So naturally, he was quite absorbed with that, and he forgot about the teleconference. And I also just came down to, and when I came down, he said that everything is set. The video presentation is on. Okay, Atmaram, thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Gaur Premanande, Hare Hare Bo.
Hare Krishna.